This is WFAE Talks. This week, we talk about a plan to boost teacher pay by an average of $5,800.
Our plan will replace the archaic 37-step system that we currently have with an entirely new base pay scale and provide more than $5,800 average raises for teachers in the first year of implementation alone.
But there's quite a bit more to the story. We'll also address the politics of climate change.
The best message usually stays away from ideological discussions such as climate change and focuses on the here and now, the stream that passes by your children's school.
And we'll introduce the megameter. What's that, you ask? Well, keep listening. Education reporters Lisa Miller and Ben Bradford join me. How's that for a tease, guys?
Great.
Great? The megameter? You're excited to sit here.
I'm tuned in. You got me sitting here.
You came in here before this saying, I'm excited about this week's show. And one of the reasons was you're curious about the megameter.
Oh, I am curious about the megameter. So I know there's been some work that's gone into the megameter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm cautiously optimistic about the megameter. I'm looking forward to hearing it. by reserve judgment.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Ben, you had a busy week this week, doing your climate change series, North Carolina and climate change. And
yeah, somehow I thought that'd be a good idea.
I thought it was a great idea. I was telling you before how it was really fascinating.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. So we did it started out as one and then quickly spiraled into a three-part look at essentially how the state is preparing to adapt for climate change or not preparing. It is very, very difficult to report on, I feel like. And I guess that's part of what this podcast is about, is talking about sort of how we report on things. And this one, I mean, it's not the hardest reporting I've ever done in terms of, you know, going out and finding things. It's not the saddest story or anything along those lines, but just reporting on it is very, very difficult because there's this real conflict between the science and the urge as a reporter to be balanced, mm-hmm. and to sort of incorporate all viewpoints. And so, you know, actually, Greg, I mean, you were very, very helpful. Just that I think that what we decided to do, you know, the choice that we made on it was to say, okay, well, if this were not a politically charged issue, the science would not be controversial. Mm-hmm. And we treated the story that way. So we treated the science as an assumption. Okay, this is happening. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we approached it. You know, it's something that more and more media outlets are starting to do, but it's still as you're doing it, it's unusual because usually with a politically charged issue, you wouldn't approach it that way. But if you do approach it that way, you know, if you do keep it balanced, then to some degree you're being misleading because mm-hmm. the overwhelming scientific consensus is that this thing is happening,
right.
And then you got to look at it. All right, so what are we doing? And then you approach it as a usual story, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we approached it as a usual story, and it was very difficult to do it that way.
Well, it was interesting to me because, you know, I've heard, you know, last year with the coastline climate change reports that was not allowed to be taken into mm-hmm. consideration with what commission was it?
Yeah, the Coastal Resources Commission is essentially, I mean, their job is to protect our coastal resources. And there was a science panel back in 2010 that came up with this. They looked at the science. They looked at a variety of scientific reports, and it was scientists that came up with it, a projection for, okay, how much is sea level going to rise over the next essentially 100 years? And the projection was, they said a reasonable projection is 39 inches. And, you know, that's very significant. You would see the sea could rise in some places, you know, go into the coastline, you know, a mile in some places. Hmm. So you're talking about a lot of impact along some very, very valuable beachfront property. Of course, in 2011, you had Republican lawmakers win control of the General Assembly, and they passed a law saying that essentially that no state agency can consider accelerating sea level rise. So you have to, you can only look at historically what's happened. And the idea, of course, is that, you know, with climate change, as the atmosphere heats up and as the ocean heats up, not only do you have ice caps melting, but also just the water molecules among, you know, the the most, you know, enormous resource on this planet, the water molecules expand.
And that's
more
one
quickly.
Thing. That's a simple thing. It's a basic science thing. You know, that happens when there's warming, but I think it's something that's forgotten.
You don't really think about that.
Water, okay, the glaciers, they melt, and okay, there's more water, but the water is
the water
more...
itself is going to expand as it gets warmer. And so, and of course, you know, microscopically, but, you know, on that scale, it has a very, very significant impact. So all the projections are that this goes up much faster, but the General Assembly passed a law essentially banning state agencies from considering that. Nobody can incorporate that until 2016. It has all kinds of impacts. I mean, first of all, it means that you can't incorporate it into just your planning on those coastal communities. But what I also found is, you know, there are other things like our drinking water resources near the coast, you know, rivers where they get their drinking water from. Well, if sea level rise goes to a certain point, you could have salt water going into, into some of those drinking water supplies.
But it was interesting, you know, from what I learned from your report was that one, I mean, this study that was commissioned was thought of as a real model of a study for other states.
That was something I didn't know about either, and I haven't seen elsewhere, and we definitely need to look into more. As I was going through this and I was talking to academics, right, if you go and you listen to that story, you won't hear from environmental groups, and you won't hear from, you know, sort of advocates, right? What we were looking for is we were looking for the people in charge of policy, and we were looking for the people in charge of the science. And in a couple of instances, you know, talked to a few people who said, listen, North Carolina had this was first of all used to be very, very in the forefront of, you know, studying the impacts and kind of getting ready to prepare. We were sort of at the point where we'd done all of these studies and we're getting ready to pass laws. And then you had this this conservative wave come in, and obviously the priorities are very different. And then you get into to views of climate change and so forth, and all that work basically stopped, is what they were telling me. But yes, we had already accepted a $5 million grant from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. And that grant was to do a parcel-by-parcel look at how sea level rise, at a risk assessment of how sea level rise could affect property, and they built this model for how to do it. And apparently, it exists. You know, in the words I think of the of one of the scientists that I talked to, he says it's, you know, it's fantastic. But
you could get this information on all these parcels already.
It's never been publicly released.
It's never been released.
That's
so
fascinating.
It doesn't. It basically, they've done all the work. $5 million not being used by anybody.
Can this be FOIA'd?
Yeah, it can. And I mean, it can be public records requested, and I'm certainly going to be doing that.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that kind of hit me, you know, you have that, you know, this sea level rise can't be included in planning. But then, you know, you have that scene from Baldhead Beach where they're basically pumping sand from the floor of the ocean onto the beach.
Right. So that's Wrightsville and Nag's Head. Yeah.
Oh, that's Wrightsville and Nag's Head.
And to be fair, you know, I got an email afterwards from a UNC Wilmington professor who didn't love, and I think that, you know, when you're looking back on it, I think that we did it right. But he makes a fair point, which I'll say, which is that, you know, you dredge for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, the beach deteriorates even without sea level rise, and, you know, the sand is always moving to different parts. But right, one of the reasons to do it, and one of the ways of combating it. So one of the reasons they're able to do it is because they do not have to link it to sea level rise. But yeah, they're already doing that. They're already dredging up sand, and that also, you know, fights the effects of sea level rise.
Yeah, just a really interesting look at how, you know, state agencies can't factor in many cases climate change, but how, you know, in some ways they are doing it with the, you know, forestry was really interesting. So I thought it was a great piece.
And one of the
pieces.
To show how politically charged it is, I found it interesting that agriculture commissioner agreed to talk to you, but he couldn't mention you couldn't ask him about climate change.
Yeah, on the phone before they were great in the sense that they got back to me and were willing to talk, which was more so than the short I have in the first piece talk about the response that we got from the governor's office, which I asked them what they thought of the most recent national climate assessment, which is this big report. It's this occasional report that actually, if you think about this is pretty amazing. Congress commissioned it unanimously in 1990, right? So you had so the Senate passed it unanimously, the House passed it unanimously, the president, who was George H.W. Bush at the time, he signed it into law, and it requires essentially a roundup of scientific knowledge on climate change. And so that report came out earlier in May. So I asked the governor's office, "Hey, do you guys have any comment on this? What do you think of this thing?" And the response back was very terse. It was just, "We have been focused on teacher pay and the budget." So the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, which of course this is a huge issue for, declined an interview. And so the agriculture, yes, agreed to speak with me. But one of the things beforehand, they said, "Well, we're not interested in having you ask him about the Commissioner of Agriculture, his view on climate change. We don't want you to ask him his view on climate change." And so I agreed so I could get the interview, and I was more interested in the policy, and I asked him, does agriculture have a policy on it? But yeah, absolutely, it's an issue to stay away from. That clip that you played in the intro was from a Republican political strategist named Todd Ream, who's based down in Atlanta. And he says that basically for Republicans, it's not really a win issue to talk about it because it's immediately polarizing. You've got, a segment who's just going to tune out immediately, who's going to say, "Well, we don't believe in it," or a segment that says, "Well, it's in God's hands." It's kind of your evangelical point of view. Obviously, not everybody, but some. But that's the point, is that it's divided. So he says, what you should do instead is talk about, the things that are happening now. Talk about cleaning the environment, and you can get around it that way. And there are, when you start looking around, there are agencies. So the North Carolina Forest Service is a great example. They've developed this document with the USDA, and if you look into the footnotes of the document and so forth, they use a model to determine some of the effects, and the words climate change are all over it, but they really try not to use it very much in the actual thing that they're passing out to landowners. They try to stay away from it. And Sean Brogan, who's in charge of this, is for the Forest Service. He says that he loses people if he starts talking about climate change. So they focus on, all right, what can you do now?
Well, that was a 3-part series, North Carolina and Climate Change, and you can get that on our website.
I've seen it.
Yes. So, on to the next topic, Lisa, $5,800 average raise under the Senate's budget plan released this week.
It's an average 11% raise, but that goes from a 1% raise for someone who's had 32 years of experience, for example, to someone in their ninth year of teaching. It's a 20% raise. So.
Well, that sounds great, but there is a but. You have to give up your some of your due process rights at a tenured, I guess that's, and
sure,
and
there's a couple buts, yeah, but that's one of them. You have to give up tenure, due process rights, and
what does that mean, due process rights?
So basically, with tenure, if someone wants to dismiss you, you have as a teacher, you can appeal that decision to a hearing. And so you'll have
gotcha. A number. We're not talking due process in the court of law.
No,
exactly. So, the catch is you have to give up tenure. And if you don't want to give up tenure, then you're basically on the pay plan you're already on, which has been frozen for years. And it doesn't seem like there's any move to unfreeze salaries. So, it's.
And then there's the issue of teacher assistants.
Exactly.
Those will be cut.
So this would cost about $468 million. But to pay for some of those costs, half of that money would be with cutting the number of teacher assistants in half.
Again.
Again, yes. Yeah. So there's been big cuts to teacher assistants. And especially with this third grade reading law, you hear schools, administrators saying, hey, this is really tough. We're getting fewer teacher assistants when we need more of this sort of focused instruction and everything. So what this does is cut the amount of money for teacher assistants, but it does that by cutting all the money that would go for second and third grade teaching assistants. Schools and districts can still choose to spread them out from, K through third grade. But that's how it would be made up under this plan. And there's a couple other places in the education side of the budget that would be cut as well, as far as transportation.
Now, so essentially, I'm guessing a lot of people, a lot of teachers look at this as, okay, I get more money, but I'm giving up some of my job, some of my rights, some of my job protections, and I'm going to be my job's just got a whole lot harder because I'm not going to have the same access to teacher assistants.
Yeah, I mean, if you're elementary school teacher, K through third grade, sure. Yeah. I mean, that is kind of a
and potentially be more miserable in your job if you don't have the teacher assistants. I mean, I just know from my own kids, just teacher assistants play a huge role in schools. They really do.
They do. They definitely do. Of course, the governor's proposal is would have closer to a 2% raise and for all school employees. And, that money, as far as education cuts, would be from higher ed. So 2% in the UNC system. So we'll see.
Well, whose plan matters more here, the governor's or the Senate's?
Well, right now it really looks like the Senate's. I mean, it's interesting power play between especially the governor and the Senate at this time. And we'll see, when the budget is turned over to them, what they come up with. But, we were talking about this morning in our daily staff meeting about these power dynamics. And you can see it especially with education, how it's played out. You have the governor announcing his plan a couple weeks ago. Not any of the big Senate leaders there or the big House leaders there to support it. Then the Senate rolls out their plan and the House says, hey, Tom Tillis's office says, we haven't really gone through the details of this plan. And the governor says, hey, my plan's a lot better. It's significantly different. It provides, more career pathways. So it is interesting to see that dynamic. So
that is something we will be getting into. And as you alluded to,
yes,
in the discussion from this morning's meeting.
Sure. Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not just on teachers that we've seen. No. That is also what we were discussing.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Medicaid. There's mm-hmm. been differing plans. I'd reported before, when the governor presented his coal ash plan for what to do about all these about all the storage of coal ash near waterways, and he presented it, and it's something that the legislature needs to pass. He hadn't communicated with them beforehand; they didn't know he was going to introduce it, and one of the legislators who was heavily involved in it described his colleagues as miffed.
Well, on to the final topic I teased at the top of the show, the mega meter. We get a lot of ridiculous rhetoric-laden press releases during campaign season. In fact, I have a folder in my email called Ridiculous Emails. No kidding. In particular, we're getting hit hard by the Kay Hagan and Tom Tillis campaign and the state Republican and Democratic parties. So,
for the U.S. Senate race.
Yes, U.S. Senate race. So this week, we start a new segment in which we look at the claims in these press releases through Megan Stubel, a.k.a. the Megameter. Megan works at WFAE's front desk and always has a witty observation, plus research is in her blood. She's a former paralegal. This week's assignment, well, I'll let her take it from here.
Okay, so one of the first emails Greg had me take a look at was from the North Carolina Republican Party. The email was titled, Kay Hagan's, quote, you can keep your plan lies. And the email goes on to say that Kay Hagan repeatedly promised that, quote, if you like your plan, you can keep it. Obviously in reference to Obamacare. And further in the email says that Hagan's broken promise was named the lie of the year by PolitiFact.
Okay, so was this, in fact, the lie of the year?
Yes and no. PolitiFact, a fact-checking website, did rate the you can keep your plan if you like it promise the lie of the year for 2013. However, that was attributed to President Obama. And actually nowhere does PolitiFact mention Kay Hagan, North Carolina, or any of her promises to the state. Kay Hagan did several times say some iteration of if you have a doctor you like, if you have a plan you like, you can keep that plan under Obamacare. However, these are back in 2009, not 2013, when the email claims. And again, the promise was attributed to President Obama, not Kay Hagan or anyone in North Carolina.
All right. So on the megameter, how do you, we're going to go through a hurricane warning system or hurricane category system here on the Megan meter. How does this rate?
I'm going to go ahead and rank this a category 4. Kay Hagan did say, again, some version of if you like something about your plan, you can keep it. However, PolitiFact, I think, is fairly well known. And to say that PolitiFact was calling out Kay Hagan and Kay Hagan alone is pretty mega.
There you go, the first installment of the Mega Meter.
That's good. I'm always in favor of fact-checking, and it is true. I mean, all the anytime that you get, it doesn't matter the you know what party it is, but anytime you get an email from a campaign, you just know that there's going to be some things in there that are going to kind of catch your eye, that are going to be a little bit twisted. It's the whole thing.
And this goes across the board. This week we focused on claims that the Republican Party had against Kay Hagan. Trust me, we're going to be going both sides
here. Yeah, we reported before. I reported on an ad that was for Hagan against Tillis by a third party group at the very beginning of the campaign. It was one of the first TV ads that we had over there. And yeah, you can find that on our website. Went through and just some of the things in there that are not correct. but that's how it works, right? That's how it works. You find the pithiest sound bite that, you know, makes the person sound like they're doing something evil, and then you
slow it down. And then they actually,
and you put the voice over it that says Kay Hagan wants you to
Lisa, any comments on the Mega Meter?
I look forward to some more Mega Meter. Yeah.
Okay, guys. That's another WFA Talks.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.